Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah, the 51st chapter. We're going to deal with the entire chapter, but just going to read a few verses to get us started. Isaiah chapter 51, beginning in the beginning. Verse 1. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts. Father, that you would teach us, that you would help us to remember that which you deem important. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. How's your memory? How are you doing? Can you remember where we are? What day it is? Those are good starts. Did you know that every bit of information you have ever learned is still in your head? It is. There's no place for it to go. It goes there. It cuts little lines in your cortex, and somewhere up there is everything you've ever learned. I know that I have a wonderful memory. I have a rotten recall. Psychology today says memory makes us. If we can't recall the who's, what's, where's, and when's of our everyday lives, it's very difficult to manage. We mull over ideas in the present, in the short-term memory, while we store past events and learn meaning in our long-term memory, and we pool those things together to be able to move forward. And then I don't know about you, I have phone memory. Every number I put into my phone, my mind instantly forgets because it's there. It's not here. Well, Dr. William Katim, professor of neuroscience at Texas A&M, gives five reasons that memory really matters. One is memorization. Memorization is a discipline for the mind. So many minds are lazy. Memorization will train your mind to work. And may I put in there, we need to memorize God's word. It is important for us. It is important to us. And the practice is good for us in other ways. He says, you can't always Google it. Now, some of you don't know how to Google it. Some of you may not have access to Google or any other computer at a time, or maybe even a phone. And so you can't always look up information. And may I tell you, in the world of AI, it is hard to know what you are reading is true or not. He says, memorization creates what we think about. To the extent in any field, to be an expert in any field, you have to base yourself in the knowledge that you have in your mind. We think with ideas in our working memory, which can only be accessed by our stored memory. So understanding comes from information we hold. Otherwise, it's difficult to know what's going on. And he sums up his five. The exercise of memory develops learning and improves the ability to learn. The more you remember, the more you can learn. If you want to keep, remembering, keep trying to memorize. Practice. The more you remember, the more you can process. Picasso had to know how to paint before he could decide what to paint. Einstein had to know the physics literature of his day so he could point out its flaws. And Jesus had to know Scripture to be able to quote it and say, "It is written." So, memory is important. And with all of the importance, we still forget. You forget, I forget, others forget. John Hopkins has a list of things we most often forget. 63% of people forget names. You know, for a long time when Eek Brown was our minister of education, he was my minister of memory. He had a great ability just to call the names. And so when I needed to know a name, he's who I went to. 60% of people forget where something was put. Well, in my household, there is Becky, and she knows where things are put. But sometimes I forget. 57% forget phone numbers. I think that's a little bit higher now. 53% forget words. 49% forget what is said. 42% can't recognize faces. 38% forgets what you did. In our text, God is telling us some things that we need to remember. He wants Israel to remember and to be benefited by, and He wants us to remember as believers in Jesus Christ. God wants us to remember what you seek. In 51:1, "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you are digged." God says, "Listen to me, seek righteousness, seek the Lord." If you're seeking righteousness, you've got to seek the Lord God. He is the only place where righteousness is found. Now, righteousness is not a popular concept today. In fact, if you ask the average person if they wanted righteousness, they would answer with what? If you ask a teenager, "You want righteousness?" they may say, 6'7". Righteousness, quite simply, is to be right with God. Our Lord lives in self, our lives live in self-righteousness. You know, our world is only interested in itself. People are not looking to be right with God. They only want to be right with themselves. That's the thought pattern that if you're okay with you, then nothing else matters. The Bible warns of people who only do what is right in their own eyes. That's not a good thing. With this type of thinking goes the statement that there is no moral absolutes. If it's okay with you, it's okay. That's how our world is thinking. Think of the harm that this thought pattern can bring. If I think it's okay to lie, steal, cheat, be promiscuous, curse, attack, or even kill others, it's okay as long as I think it's okay. Every sin is not a sin because I've decided in my wonderful mind that it's okay. This is the thought pattern of the world around us. But no one can be righteous within themselves. 51:1. We find He is speaking to those who follow after righteousness, who seek the Lord. May I tell you the number one thing you need to do in 2026 is seek the Lord. Seek to know Him, seek to follow Him, seek to live by His desires. Israel needed to focus on the coming Messiah. We need to focus on Jesus. He needs to be our focus in the morning, our focus at noon, and our focus at supper time, and then the time beyond. We need to think of Him. We need to think by Him. There is no way to have a right standing with God without a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Remember that you are seeking a relationship with God, to be right with God. And that rightness with God cannot be found in your wrongness. It can only be found through a relationship with Jesus Christ, with accepting the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and with living by it. Jesus revealed that true happiness is available for all those who know him and who, in Matthew 5, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember what you seek. You're supposed to seek what God wants, not what the world wants, not what your friends want, what God wants. And we need to put that as the focus of our existence. The people of the world seek many things. Lucifer sought power and was kicked out of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar sought praise and he lost his mind. The rich young ruler sought possessions and he went away sad. The prodigal son sought pleasure and he ended up in a hog pen. Jesus makes it clear, true happiness is reserved for those who seek after and concentrate upon God's righteousness. You can't get righteousness if you have not entered a personal relationship with Jesus, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior. We who know the Lord still need to seek righteousness. Guess what? Coming to Jesus makes you saved. Coming to Jesus does not automatically, instantly change your life direction so that everything is right. Oh, it's right for that moment. But when your sin comes into your life, you're not right anymore. And so there needs to be a constant move toward in our lives toward following Jesus and seeking Jesus and being right with Jesus. In verse 2, look to Abraham your father and Sarah who bore you. You remember Abraham down in that desert, God called him. Abraham placed his faith in God. He wasn't perfect, but when he messed up, he always came back to following God. May I tell you, that's what you have to do. When you understand you mess up, you fess up. You get right with God again, and then you pick up and you follow after God's desires. God built a nation from one couple. In verse 1, he says, remember the rock from which you were hewn. He's saying all things are possible to those that believe in God's righteousness. You see, the rock is not telling us how solid Abraham was. It is telling us how dried up he was. Yet as he walked in God's righteousness, God brought a great nation from he and Sarah. In verse 2, God called him and blessed him and increased him. God is telling captive Israel, if God could build a great nation out of Abraham and Sarah when they were dried up like a rock, and yet God made them fruitful, God can move in your life and bring righteousness and blessing to you. In verse 3, the Lord shall comfort Zion. God comforted them. I don't know what you're going through today, but most of us need the comfort of God. We need God coming close to us. We need to know that God is there for us. We need to know that God is directing us. We need to know that when others turn against us, God is still there, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to hold to that, and God will comfort us through that knowledge. He would make a wilderness like Eden, the scripture says. They've been in captivity. But if they seek righteousness, they can find joy, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. Wow. Isn't that kind of what we want? Joy and thankful lives and a voice that harmonizes with God? Believer, I dare say the same is true for you and me. If we'll stop following after the sins of the world, stop trying to be righteous in our own eyes, if we'll start paying attention to what God wants instead of what we want, and we walk with Jesus, God will make a difference in us. He will comfort us. He can change us. He can bless us. God will comfort from the waste areas of our lives. Wow. The waste areas of our lives. What's that? That's all the time we wasted because we were away from God. That's all the time we've wasted going our path and going the sinful path away from God. God can restore us, and God can comfort us from even the wasted areas. God can give us joy. He can give us thanksgiving. He can put a song in your heart. He can lift you up. He can drive you forward. Remember what you seek. Then God says, remember what I say. Remember God's word. Get into the book. Get the book into you. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my justice to rest for a light of the peoples. God would give a new law, a new covenant. God is saying, I'm going to give something that will be for everybody. He is going to give the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It would come from the Messiah. It would flow through him to the Jews, but it would not end with them. It would go to the ends of the earth. The gospel was always meant to be offered to everybody. Don't believe those who would limit God's outreach. Don't believe those that would tell you that God's already decided some people are going to go to hell, some people are going to go to heaven. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. God's desire is that all would come to him. And God's desire is that all would follow him. John 8:12 says, then Jesus spoke again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We follow Jesus. We're not in darkness. We have his light, and we move forward. All this is brought together by God's right arm, by God's strength. God did this for us. We couldn't do it for ourselves. So we need to remember his word, and we need to walk in his word and walk by his word. No matter who you are or what you have done, you must trust the word that Jesus has the power to redeem you. You got to trust the word that no matter how bad you have been, he can overcome it. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, he did overcome it. Remember what God says in his word. When you have difficulties come into your life, listen, look in the Bible and see where there's help. There's help there. See what God has to say to you. Some of you say, well, I wish God would just part the heavens and speak directly to me. Duh. He's done that. We need to access God's word. We need to get it into our lives, and we need to live by it. We need to remember what God has said. Thank God for our Awanas continually teaching the Bible to children. And, you know, they may forget a lot of things, but sometimes God's word is going to pop back in their minds, and God will direct them by it. Remember how I save. In verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall grow old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Look up to the heavens, look down to the earth. They seem pretty permanent, don't they? I mean, you get up, you get out of bed, you expect there to be a floor there. It seems pretty permanent. Every day, it's just kind of the same. You look up, there's a sky, there's the sun. You know, at night, there's the moon. They seem to exist, and they seem to be there. People. You look at people, and you look at people very often, and you know, you expect to see the people there. Sunday by Sunday, I expect to see people here. Some of you have been out. We've had three very bad weather days, and some of you have been staying in, and you got out. And I asked some of you today if you saw your shadow. Yeah. We get so used to people being in place, and we get used to trusting in people and relying on people. My friend, one day you may look and they may not be there. Unless Jesus returns, none of us are getting out of here alive. And we are all passing. And in the past years, we've had different people alive and here and filling seats, and they're not here, and we need to get new people to come in and fill seats, and we need to be doing that anyway. But we need to be reaching out to people, because there is a passing. Don't base your life on people in this world. Just because you see them today doesn't guarantee you will be able to see them tomorrow. Listen, my early life was founded in the permanence of Ralph and Louise Speer. They were solid. They were rocks. They were there every single day. They were people I could turn to. They were always there. They could handle absolutely anything. They were able to know everything, even stuff I thought they didn't know. We lived at 305 Penny Circle in Gadsden, Alabama, a brick house on a hill. And there were other houses around. That house was always going to be there. It was a great house. There were five of us. There was one bathroom. My mom, the only female. Bless her heart. Boy. When I would go away, or when I was in school away and I would come home, there they would be. And it was great. And my mom would, we didn't kill a fatted calf, we killed the fatted chicken. But she would fry it up, and oh my, how great that was. Always there, always trustworthy, always could cry out to them. They may not like everything, and they would do corrections. And that was a day, just to be truthful, my parents would have been locked away if they used today's, you know, discipline for people who discipline. Because they discipline. But one day my father went to work. I was away at seminary, but he just went to work. He always went to work. He was a firefighter at the age of 48. He left that morning and never came back. He was killed fighting a fire. The stability of my life began to evaporate. it was 20 years later. My mom came for a visit, and she got sick, and I took her to the hospital. The doctor said she bled out, but somehow survived. It was miraculous. For 3 months, she was in intensive care. And then that was followed by 5 months in rehab. And she was doing well. She was there. Her sense of humor was there. It was always such an uplift just to hear her voice. And then there was a surgery that was supposed to fix everything else, and she would be able to go home. Except she didn't come out of that surgery. I was faced with closing down the house at 305 Penny Circle. Now, I have two brothers, and they did what they could, but, you know, I was the one that was closest that could do it, and so we had to clear out the house, and then we had to sell the house. What I thought was forever wasn't. Oh, but I have Jesus. Jesus saved my soul when I was a little boy. His salvation has not failed me, and it will not fail me. It will always be there. It will never pass away. Verse 6, my salvation shall be forever. Verse 8, my righteousness shall be forever. It's not that I am right in myself. No, my righteousness is in Jesus Christ. I have His righteousness, and it is dressed in His righteousness alone that I'll be able to enter heaven. Not because I'm good enough, but because He's good enough. Not because I am worthy, but because He laid down Himself on Calvary's cross for me, and I received it as my own. This is how God saves. If you could do it on your own, if you could work your way to heaven, then you would do it on your own. But you can't. We are all sinners. We are all separated from God. None of us are better than any other of us. We are all headed toward a devil's hell unless we receive what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, accept Him into our hearts, and are saved. How does He save? He gives Himself totally to save us. You want to be able to have victory in life? You want to be able to deal with the difficulties, the troubles, the waste that you have put in your own life by what you have done? Seek righteousness. Seek the Lord. Seek Jesus. Remember God's Word. Get in God's Word. Hey, Sunday school is a place where you need to be. It is not just for children. If it will make you more comfortable in today's world, call it small groups. And you know, it's a place to go, get the Bible into you. It's great. Be faithful to God's house. Worship with God's people. Hear God's Word. Seek to latch on to something that you can remember of God's Word. And then build it into your life. And remember how you were saved. If you've invited Jesus Christ to save your soul, keep remembering that. Thank Him for it. Thank Jesus for what He did for you. Do that every day. Do it multiple times a day. It reminds you that we live by Him, not by us. That our victory is in Him. It's not in us. And that our future is in Him. Praise God, it's not in us. And for that reason, I know one day I will die. Could be today. Could be any moment. I know it's going to happen. Someone else will be the pastor here. I pray that this church will continue on. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be with Jesus. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I will be with the Lord forever. How about you? Have you ever invited Jesus to be your Savior? You know that you have. You've invited Him into your heart to forgive your sin, to save your soul. If you've done that, that's wonderful. Now start living for Him. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. We can help you with that. You need a church home, we can help you with that. Start molding your life by what God says in His Word. But always give Him the victory, for it is by Him that we are saved. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask that You would move within our hearts. Help us make decisions that we need to make. Father, there are those that do not know You that need to come to know You. Listening right now, maybe in this room, maybe online, but Father, they've heard the truth. They know they need Jesus. Let them come to You, ask Your forgiveness, and ask You to allow Jesus to save their souls by His sacrifice. Father, I pray for believers. Lord, we need to remember. We need to remember, Father, to seek You every day. And Father, if we've gotten away from You, let this be a time of coming back to You. We need to remember what You've said in Your Word, and we need to apply it to our lives, and we need to memorize it and live by it. And we need to constantly remember how we are saved and give others the opportunity to be saved like we were. Father, perhaps today believers would come to the altar and just set things right with You. Perhaps, Father, they would come praying for those they know that don't know You. Guide us to decisions, Father, that follow Your will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing?